I'm Alistair Patrick, and this is the Spanish Segunda Show, the show where we cast our eye over all 22 clubs in La Liga High Promotion. Another week, another magical mystery tour around Spain for Liam, and he went to see a couple of important games impacting the top and the bottom of the table. The beauty of this league is, though, that there are no dead rubbers, even at this stage of the season. Every game is still important. And this evening's show marks 7 games left in the regular season. Of course, Alcorcón and Villarreal Bay still to play. Liam, where have you been this weekend?
I paid my first ever visit to Torrilla. 3 hours later, I was in El Plantillo for the second time. I was there a couple of years ago. This time to see Burgos take on Rafa. Why don't you give us the results of those 2 games, along with the other 8 which have taken place so far?
Yeah, Friday night, first, the big one, first place against second, Leganés hosting Espanyol in Butarque, a sprinkling of controversy, but no goals and it ended 0-0. Mario González got his second goal in 2 games for Sporting, and it was enough to beat Cartagena by a 0-2 in El Molinón and keep their playoff hopes alive. Real Valladolid won by the same score against Eldense, and Liam was there to witness it. We'll hear his audio from the ground a little later in the show. Amorebieta continued their incredible run, coming from behind in the Ciutat at the Valencia to beat Levante by 2-1. On Sunday, Lishi kept himself in a job, picking up a point with a late second half equaliser, as Oviedo could only draw 1-1 with Mirandés. Albacete got their first win under new coach Alberto González. Time of asking, they did it in the Carlos Belmonte against 10-man Tenerife by 0-0. John Bautista came up with the goods with a doblete as Eibar picked up all 3 points in Andorra. Liam then was at his second game of the weekend. He was at the sold-out game between Burgos and Racing Santander, where the home side maintained their unbeaten home record, winning it in the 99th minute, thanks to a Curro Sanchez penalty. Jay stops the run of 3 defeats in a row, but couldn't take all 3 points as they drew 1-1 in La Romareda against Real Zaragoza. And then finishing Sunday's action, Racing Club de Ferrol came from behind against Huesca to score twice. That's more goals in 1 game than Huesca had conceded in the previous 10. It finished 2-1 to Racing Club de Ferrol, and that keeps the North Spain side's playoff dreams alive. Tonight, as I said, a huge 6-pointer or a 4-pointer, depending on who you ask, down the bottom of the table between Alcorcón and Villarreal Bay. But from the bottom of the table, we have to go to the top of the table, and we'll start with that Friday night game in Butarque where Leganés drew 0-0 with Espanyol.
Yeah, not a hugely surprising outcome, I suppose. Lega obviously happy to keep the nearest challengers at arm's length, and Espanyol knowing that defeat fourth by the end of the weekend. And in fact, had they lost that game, they would have been fourth, as we'll find out, as you will have found that you might have worked out for yourself from the results that Alex has just given you. I suppose the big talking point of that first half was the penalty, which was initially given to Espanyol for a challenge by Conde, or a collision between Conde, the Lega keeper, and Melamed. The referee then eventually went across to his screen and changed his mind. Was that the right call, Alex?
In my opinion, yes. And you called it a collision, Liam. I think that's quite important. Before that collision, the goalkeeper gets a touch on the ball. So he goes flying across. He throws a hand at the ball that's on the ground. He gets only a slight touch, but a touch is enough. He gets the ball, it diverts the course, and of course then he can't all of a sudden disappear into thin air, and Nico Melamed's momentum takes him into the goalkeeper, and obviously he got that point. So yes, clearly contact between the goalkeeper and Nico Melamed, but I think that touch from the goalkeeper makes it the correct decision to overturn it and for it not to be a penalty. But I can understand why some might not agree. And some, possibly meaning you, Liam.
I think overall it was a review that worked out, you know, that got the in the end.
Predictably unpredictable A-bar, although actually they're not, are they? Because they win one, they lose one, they win one, they lose one. The pattern's pretty clear. The form's a bit like a Spanish traffic light, really. There's no amber. It's on that graphic on the football apps. It's red or green, nothing else. And perhaps we talk about, and we've talked about the English method of win at home and draw away. Do we call this traffic light system win one, lose one, win one, lose one? Do we call that the Basque method now? I don't know. Maybe that's what we should do from here on in. So let's take a little look at some of the other teams in the top six. Starting with Real Valladolid, who were playing at home to Eldense. And I called this a home banker last week. And Liam decided to test the theory. He made the trip all the way from the UK. And let's hear the audio that he recorded from the ground.
Buenas tardes. Mr. Emars is on the road again. And today's in the Estadio Zorrilla in Valladolid. A beautiful hot day. Good 25 degrees at least. Loving the fact that I've managed to get a ticket in the away end. Probably about 50 Eldense fans have come here today. Cheer on their team. Great effort, bearing in mind that their away field was pretty shocking. Alex described this as a home banker on the show this week. I have to say, finally, with the added incentive of knowing that Espanyol drew last night and 3 points this afternoon will draw them level in that second automatic promotion place. So yeah, massive incentive for the home side to get 3 points tonight. Eldense do need some more points. They are a little bit too close to the relegation zone for comfort. Big task this evening, but two teams just come out of the pitch. The away side bedecked in their resplendent pink third kit. Really looking forward to this one. Lots of scars in the air near me. There is a direct train, to be fair, from Alicante to Valladolid, but it's a fair way, 600 kilometres each way, even on the Arbe. In this country, that's several hours and a great turnout. And from my perspective, really hoping the away fans have something to cheer about at the end of this 90 minutes. We'll see how it goes. Half time here in the Estadio Zorrilla, it's Real Valladolid 0, Eldense 0. Really strange performance from the home side, given the result last night, the knowledge that a win today against a side that's not in the best of form will take them a level on points with the second place side, Espanyol. A real lack of intensity and urgency, and I thought the home fans, to be fair, were very patient. We've been quite critical of them over the last few weeks. The comments and the whistles that have been aimed at the coach Pezolana, but 42 minutes in, they finally lost that patience, and we heard the first shout of resign Pezolana. And to be perfectly honest, I don't really understand why there isn't a little bit more desire to get this 3 points in the bag here. It really does feel like they're waiting for a mistake from Eldense. Eldense are very comfortable. They'll settle for the point here. Be a good result. And more or less saying, come and have a go. And really, really, for me, a below par performance from the home side. They are attacking the end where their most fervent fans are gathered in this second half when it comes, and I can only hope from their point of view that they up the tempo a bit, because right now they've had a couple of half chances. Ian Mackay in the Eldense goal, don't be fooled by the name, he's pure Spanish despite the fact he sounds like he comes from Dundee. He's made a couple of reasonable saves, but ultimately you'd expect him to make both of them. In fact, Mo Dowd has missed perhaps the best chance of the match for the visitors. As I say, I think they'll take a 0-0 in this. And unless Real Valladolid show a bit more urgency in the second half, that's how this game is going to end up. So half-time here at Zorrilla, goalless. Of full time here in Thoria, the very definition of an undeserved victory from the home side. Talk about getting the job done, no more than that. Hugely unimpressive. Certainly helped by the introduction of Sanchez in the second half. As a substitute, he started to get things going in the realm. Moro actually came on in the first half for Stipe Buic. Certainly impressed on the left side of midfield. Very speedy winger. I can see why a lot of Valladolid fans are not happy that he's not starting every week. But still, hugely unimpressive overall from Pufella. Huge moment, which will be talked about, I imagine, for quite a long time after this game. Certainly, yes, David, the Eldense coach, has something to say about it. Looked like the visitor taking the lead. Corner from the right by Mateo, volleyed in by Dumic. And after a very, very lengthy VAR check, the goal was disallowed for what could only assume was interference, as Masip tried to save it. Very, very debatable, but as soon as the referee was called across the screen, you kind of knew what was going to happen. Eldense also had a goal correctly disallowed in injury time for offside. But the crucial moment came when Montu headed home across from the right. Try as they might in those last 10 minutes of ordinary time and 11 minutes of added time, which tells you how long it took for them to decide whether the goal should or shouldn't be allowed. Eldense couldn't find an equaliser. Hugely unfortunate. They carry on playing like this all season, I don't think they'll be going down, but they are now not far enough away, really, to feel confident of starting 24-25 in La Liga High Promotion. Final score here at Thoria, Rayo Vallecano 1 and Eldense 0.
So, an interesting experience for you, Liam, and a few interesting events in the game as well. We've talked a little bit about Valladolid's atmosphere and the situation at the club in shows gone by. What was it like to experience that and live that from within the ground?
Yeah, well, as I said at half time, I feel like they were quite patient for the first half, which they probably, you know, I think they probably deserve credit for that, because it was a really, really anemic first half from Real Madrid. What really surprised me, though, Alex, was when they went ahead with, I think, 8 minutes to go, as soon as they scored that goal, they celebrated it and then started shouting Pethelana resign again, which I thought was really strange. It was almost as if to say, you know what, we've just gone ahead, we don't care, we still want you out. And that really is, for me, baffling. I, as we've said before several weeks ago, you know, I don't understand how they feel that that is going to help them to achieve the objective they want, which is to go back to La Liga. They're in a really, really close battle here with both Eibar and Espanyol for that second place. Never mind all the teams just beneath them. It doesn't seem productive to me to be chanting like that.
No, and I mean, this doesn't end well for Pezzolano, regardless of the outcome, I think, for Real Valladolid's season. They don't go up, I don't think he continues, because the only way that you can continue in that environment is if you're being successful. And he's been successful enough to, at the moment, not get the boot. And of course, part of the reason why he's not getting the boot is because it's the owner, Ronaldo, and he's his man. And a lot of that sort of negative feeling is towards Ronaldo and the ownership group, as well as it is Pezzolano. But I also think that if he gets them up, he probably walks away, because what is there to gain for him? Yes, okay, he'd have a coaching role in La Liga, but really to work in that toxic atmosphere cannot be positive for his mindset and positive for him being able to do his job well. And I don't see a promotion changing things there for Pezzolano, if they even achieve that.
It was interesting while talking to one of the barmen in one of the bars which I frequented on my route to Thoria, that he said there's a sense of entitlement again. We've talked about this before, haven't we, as well, Alex, that sides that believe they're entitled to be in La Liga. And you do slightly get that sense with Real Valladolid, that they are a side, that their fans believe that they are a Liga side. Now, I would suggest the history over the last 30 years is not entirely on their side. They've been in won there plenty of times before. We heard the now departed Ramis talking about with Espanyol, didn't we, a couple of months ago. Nobody has a divine right to go up in this league. Now, I know the fans' patience was tested in the first half against a side who they'd expect to knock over in Eldense, who were a minnow by comparison, let's be honest. But, you know, stick with your team of course, express your displeasure, but not regardless of how things are going. You know, I think if you overcome a tricky obstacle and score a late goal in a game, which let's not face it, there's certainly, it's contentious, isn't the goal disallowed? I know you think it should have been disallowed, and I can understand that. I think it's more the consistency issue of having somebody standing in offside position and seemingly not interfering one week and interfering another week. But, you know, ultimately, they won the game, and one would hope that that would be something that will persuade him not to be chanting for his demise within seconds of that winning goal going in.
Yeah, just on the disallowed goal, obviously you're right, you're totally right, the consistency. I think earlier on in the season, Mamadou Sia was led in the middle of the 6-yard box in a shot, I can't remember who it was that scored against Real Valladolid, but basically pretty much gave him a close shave on the top of his head and went in the corner.
There was another one with Fabrizio, wasn't that? That was for Real Valladolid, wasn't it? And then there was another one with Fabrizio, I think, with Levante. There's just, as you say, I don't disagree with what your point is. He can't not be offside where he's standing, and I totally get what you're saying there. But yeah, you know, let's see that given every week then.
Just two quick things, Liam. For anybody wondering, that was not breaking news, by the way. Miguel Ramis is not dead. Liam said the now departed Miguel Ramis. He's departed Espanyol. He's not departed this world.
He has, for now.
I mean, yeah. And the other thing as well, Liam said one of the bars that he frequented on the way to José Soria. I would say, if any of you have not seen it, just go onto our Twitter feed from the weekend and you'll quite easily find the picture of Liam in the away end with the Eldense fans. And I would argue, Liam, given that picture, that instead of the bars you frequented on the way, I would say the many bars you frequented on the way.
I think that many, just one or two, a few places along the way. Yeah, very, very enjoyable afternoon, I have to say. Yeah, I do look like I'm completely out of it, don't I, to be fair. He took the picture too late. I think he'd taken it already. I'd already done my pose. I was post-pose. Never mind.
What can
I
say? Let's talk about some of the other top six contenders. So Oviedo, who have been going the absolute clappers this season under Carrión, and invariably they go a goal up and then they smell blood and they keep going and they get the goals. But in this one this weekend against Mirandés, that wasn't the case. They played on the front foot and attacked well in the first half and deservedly got a lead just before half time. Jaime Seoane with a header just before half time to put them 1-0 up. But then in the second half, it was that cliche game of two halves, and it wasn't the Oviedo I was expecting to see. Mirandés instead played some cracking football in that second half, particularly on the counter-attack. Lishi's side, of course, his side playing for his future, really, because if they'd lost that, there was a strong chance he could have been sacked. But they played very well second half, Mirandés. Fluent, constant danger, that speedy counter-attack back again and eventually getting the equaliser late on in the second half that dense Oviedo's top six hopes. They're still in a good position, Oviedo, because of other results this weekend. And just edges Mirandés a little bit closer to survival, which we'll talk about in a moment. What of their local neighbours, Liam? What of Sporting?
I mean, they won the game. They still don't incredibly impress me on the whole, but they are a bit Jekyll and Hyde, aren't they? Their away form, as we said last week, in recent weeks, has been very poor. They've got to play Elche next week. That's a really tough one. I think that the biggest positive to come out of this, from my point of view, if you're a Sporting fan, is that Mario González scored again. That's his first, I think, possibly his second start. He was withdrawn at half-time, I think, in his only other start. So he's not really impressed Ramirez at all since he's joined in January. And we think he's a good player, don't we? We both rate him. We saw him at Tenerife. I think most Tenerife fans would agree with that as well. Scored last week, given his second start, and scored again and looked really decent on this showing. And of course, as we said many times, you need strikers, you know, in form and willing to chip in with a few if you're going to really push that top six hope into making a reality. And of course, Elche, talking of Elche, who they play next week, they should have won the game against Real Zaragoza without a shadow of a doubt, and they wasted far too many chances. So if Mario González is going to turn up and perform like that every week for Sporting, they certainly look like a lot better to finish in those playoff places.
Yeah, we've spoken about Elche's striker issues, and Murad, God bless him, everyone loves a tryer. But my word, you know, there were chances this weekend that at this level, at the professional level, to not hit the target, just absolutely criminal, to be honest. I know strong words to say it's criminal, but yeah, Elche certainly should have won that one with the chances that they created against Real Zaragoza, for sure. Let's go to our next little audio that Liam recorded this weekend. This was the hottest ticket in town, Liam. Racing Santander fans were travelling all the way to Burgos, a couple of hour trip there and back, just to buy tickets a couple of weeks ago. It was sold out. There's hundreds, if not more, Racing Santander fans that couldn't get a ticket that wanted one, but you got in.
Yeah, big thanks to David, the press officer, for that. He managed to get me a ticket, which was very good of him. So thank you, David, for that. And yeah, it was an amazing occasion. I did actually travel down to the game on the bus, and there was a Burgos fan on there, and he said, "You're not going down there to try and get a ticket now, are you?" To say, "You must be mad. You're not getting a ticket at this stage." He went, "No, luckily I've got it sorted already." Although, interesting difference in culture. Shop opens 2 hours before the game. Just like headed down there about 2:30. You think I'll get it sorted before the 6:30 kickoff? No sign of anybody.
No chance. Well, let's have a little listen to how the day panned out.
Good afternoon, Mem Platillo. This is absolutely rocking as expected. Just a cacophony of noise. Even if they play their usual super loud Euro techno music, it wouldn't even begin to drown out the noise being made by two sets of fans here this afternoon. Unbelievable stuff. Massive game. And just everything you wish for a Segunda. Sun shining. And a spectacle to behold. Let's hope the game lives up to the expectation. Half-time here in their plantilla. Let's face it, this one was never going to be a goalless draw, was it? Both sides needing the 3 points. And it's 1-1 at the break. Burgos striking first. Could have had a couple of goals in the first 10 minutes. Just every win ahead. Racing. Bit back. And a quite unique experience for an English football fan such as myself. You might remember that when these tickets first went on sale, were only available from the Burgos Club shop, and a lot of Racing fans travelled down from Santander to buy them and were allowed to do so. So I have a strange situation in my stand whereby about half the fans are home fans and the other half are Racing fans. So first goal goes in, half the stand erupts. Second goal goes in, the other half of the stand is up on their feet, and remarkable lack of antagonism between the two sets of fans, given they're all sat there in their colours, absolutely no suggestion of keeping quiet when their side scores a goal. But both sides scored a goal, so I guess half of my stand is happy for about 10 minutes, and then the other half has that moment. No idea how this one's going to go. It should be another very entertaining 45 minutes after the break. Half time, Burgos 1, Racing Santander 1. Full time here in Emplatillo, and as you can imagine, jubilation amongst about half of the inhabitants of my part of the homestand, which has been infiltrated by a number of Racing fans today. Burgos 2, Racing Santander 1. Looked like it was going to end all square until an injury time penalty. Up stepped Paulo Sanchez. I felt Espieta went a little bit too early. Paulo Sanchez kept his cool, waited for the keeper to go, taxied the other corner, and as you can hear, jubilation from the majority of the fans at their front deal. His final score. Probably a bad deserve for Burgos overall. Had a goal disallowed in second half. Offside. But overall, they look more intent on winning the game. Racing sent the 7th point with about 20 minutes to go. Came back to bite them. big win for Buenos. Final score, Buenos 2, Rafi is on that one.
So Burgos continue unbeaten at home in the league. I always add that little caveat, of course, because it was Mallorca that beat them in the cup. Burgos continue unbeaten in the league at home. The only unbeaten record, I think, in Segunda. And Racing away from home. Was it the same old Racing away from home?
I mean, I know this is kind of obvious, stating obvious this, but if Becker isn't on it and Iñigo Vicente doesn't turn up either, then they've obviously got a problem, haven't they? They're two fantastic players in this season, but they really didn't impress, especially in the second half. I thought they were, Becker had one half chance that, you know, a decent save from Carlo, but they just didn't really look like they were ever going to, they drew level, obviously, which is impressive, you know, the good recovery. But in the second half, I just didn't really feel they did anything in the game, really. And they only looked like there was going to be one win. I think they almost seemed to have settled for a point, as I said in my roundup at the end of the game, you know, with 20 minutes to go. And then they got bitten right at the end by this, ball over the top, and a fairly standard ball over the top that, you know, really they ought to have dealt with. But that defensive frailty we've talked about before once or twice, which I'm sure I think fans are aware of as well, came back to haunt them in this one, and they end up with another away defeat. So not great.
I'm going to make a prediction here, Liam. I do think that Racing will qualify for the playoffs. I think that their home form will be good. I know they lost on Monday night, and what a game that was, by the way, against Alcorcón. They probably should have won that one again. Peque missing some outrageous chances, missed a penalty, and then a couple of other chances as well at the death. But I think their home form will be good enough, and they're strong enough to blitz teams, and even if they go a goal behind, as we saw against Sporting Gijón a couple of weeks ago, they are good enough to throw the kitchen sink at it and get a couple of quick goals. So I think they'll qualify for the playoffs. But the crucial thing for Racing is that to get the home draw in the second leg, you need to finish third or fourth. And I think for Racing, that is incredibly, incredibly important, because they can go away in the first leg, damage limitation, try to get a draw. Not that Jose Alberto Lopez will ever play for a draw, but try to get a draw, or, you know, a one goal defeat, and then get them back to El Sardinero, where it will be absolutely jumping and just throw the kitchen sink at it. And I think that's their best chance. But to be at home in the second leg, you need to finish third or fourth in the semi, to be at home in the semi final second leg, and then obviously, if you're third, you're guaranteed the home second leg. And if you're fourth, it depends who gets to the final. So let's move on. One team whose playoff hopes are fading against a team who, well, if the season was a bit longer, maybe they'd make the playoffs. Amor Vieta with this unbelievable run. Of course, my tongue is firmly in my cheek, but they beat Levante in the sea attack the Valencia by 2-1, coming from behind. And that result means that mathematically, Levante are not out of the playoffs, but they're 4 points back, 7 to play, and more notably, 4 teams between them and the top 6. So they need to be 4 or possibly 5 points better than 5 of the teams above them in the remaining 7 games. And that's a pretty tough ask. But what a remarkable turnaround for Amor Vieta.
Yeah, incredible. I mean, let's not forget, Levante were 6 games unbeaten going into this. They go 1 up with 25 minutes to go. I think it's important that Amor Vieta equalise as quickly as they did. But, you know, they went for the win. I mean, this goal that Unzueta scored, you know, it was the 89th minute, wasn't it? It was poor defending by Malas, to let him get in and get that shot in from that angle, I think. I wasn't impressed with that at all. I'm sure you weren't either, as a defender of some repute. You know, they were going for the win. You know, they weren't, I mean, most, in that situation, we'd not expect most teams down the bottom to be thinking, let's just have the point here. It's a point we wouldn't necessarily expect it to get, but they were going for the win, and that kind of ambitious approach paid off for them. And they're sky high. The confidence is sky high. They're still in the bottom 4. But ultimately, they were absolutely dead and buried a couple of months ago, and they're now in with a really fighting chance of staying up, which is remarkable.
And part of the reason why they're in with a fighting chance of staying up is, of course, their form. but the other things that are happening down at the bottom of the table. And there weren't too many points picked up this week in that zone close to the relegation. Whereas last week, it seemed like everybody won, didn't it? We've already mentioned in passing that there were defeats for Cartagena. They lost 1-0, didn't they, away at Sporting. Eldense, they lost 1-0 as well away at Real Valladolid. A good draw for Mirandés. There is a group of teams now, those three that I just mentioned, plus Huesca and Real Zaragoza, those two on 42 points. But are those five teams very much involved in this relegation battle as well, given the way that the teams below are picking up points? Or is it five teams for four places?
No, I think they all are. I think they were, you know, none of them are safe. Yeah, I would say everyone from Real Zaragoza downwards has got problems here, or potential problems anyway. Real Zaragoza have got a tough run in as well, some really tough games for them between now and the end of the season. Cartagena have slightly stalled, haven't they? Amazing run they went on to pick themselves, you know, clear of the relegation zone. They're now not very far above it. Mirandés, yeah, good point this weekend, but overall not impressive since the turn of the year. As you said last week, the worst team in terms of their form since the turn of the year. And Albacete beneath them, first win, as you said, with Alberto González against Tenerife. So, you know, the teams beneath them, there's no team now, is there, adrift? You know, we've had times when at least a couple of teams, both Cartagena and Amorebieta, were way adrift at one stage. Now I think we've literally got any one of those, is it nine teams in all, that could potentially end up being involved in the bottom four at the end of the season.
Yeah, and there's no mid-table really, is there? You know, there's Tenerife, the team that you mentioned a moment ago, who lost this weekend 1-0 to Albacete. That's the first win under Alberto González, and they needed to be playing against 10 men for the majority of the game to do it. Sergio González sent off for two yellow cards in the first half, I think it was, wasn't it? So, yeah, disappointing from him, an experienced player making that sort of an error, and he actually flew into the second challenge, actually. It wasn't even a dubious one. But, I mean, we'll see. The picture will change every single week. Alcorcón and Villarreal Bay play tonight. That's a huge, huge game. Alcorcón with a couple missing after that crazy Monday night game against Racing Santander last week. Of course, we didn't talk about it on the show because we were recording before it happened. But ultimately, Alcorcón went down to nine men, and Nafti was sent off. That's since been rescinded, that sending off. And Racing Santander kept hammering at the door. And as I said a moment ago, when we were talking about Racing, Peque missed the penalty and there was some incredible chances, but somehow Alcorcón held on and it puts them in a terrific position. Liam, talk us through the league table so that we can get a picture of where the table stands as we are.
Yeah, so Leganés remain 4 points clear at the top. There's now a three-way tie for that second automatic promotion place between Espanyol, Eibar and Rayo Valladolid. The other two playoff slots are currently being filled by the two Reals from Gijón and Oviedo, but there are still four sides within 2 points of sixth place. At the other end, Albacete's win moves them ahead of Andorra and Villarreal B, with Amorebieta just above them, and thus the nearest to escaping the relegation zone.
There's still seven games to go, Liam, but could you imagine an Asturian derby in the playoffs? even more if it was a playoff final. Wow.
seriously tense. And to be honest, even either one of those sides against Rathing would also be quite lively, wouldn't it? North coast of Spain, a little bit of rivalry going on there. That would be, there's some potential big matchups going on there, isn't there? And as I say, that's even forgetting the fact that somebody out of Rayo Vallecano in Espanyol is not going up if Lega win it.
Yeah, exactly. So the Super Single this week, Thomas Vasilic, the Albacete goalkeeper with a clean sheet, was the pick of the bunch, apart from, of course, if you had John Bautista with his doblete for Eibar, picking up 11 points. Of course, we're playing for a Spanish Segunda Show mug and a 50% discount code for footballstadiumphotography.co.uk. Go and check out what they have in their store. Some fantastic bits and pieces in there. That's all we've got time for on this show. Don't forget, come and join us on the Discord for some Segunda chat. It's free. The group join code is in the show notes. It's goodbye from me.
Hasta la próxima.
Thanks for listening, everyone. And remember, segunda doesn't mean second best. No me digas que me quieres. Porque todito es mentira. A no ser te vi con...